What else?
When it's dark out, it kind of looks like Common.
Yeah, that maybe that's it. I was thinking, I was thinking Rick Ross, but he's not nearly that large.
Yeah.
To his credit, he's not nearly that large.
Common wore glasses.
I don't know if I've ever seen him in glasses.
You just have.
Maybe in a Tyler Perry movie or something. Huh?
Maybe in a Tyler Perry movie. Yeah, that's that. That
you
was.
You have to cut all this.
Homophobia.
I'm not sure.
He's not even sure anymore. He loses track of all this.
He doesn't even know.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast.
Reboot.
Reboot. The movies. Reboot. The movies that matter. Futile redo.
Reboot.
Tonight we're talking about, did we ever get the days 87?
I think it might have been later than that. It might have been the 90s even.
Not 90s. It would have been like 90 at the...
You guys remember Sex in the 90s?
What's that?
The MTV show?
Sounds good.
You what never saw it?
No. What is it?
Wait, wasn't that like a docu, one of those docu-series things?
Yeah, was that like Jon Stewart or something, or...
89.
Okay, so 89. So this was after all of his like Dirty Dancing. Was this after Ghost? That was 90, I think.
Ghost was in the 90s somewhere.
Right. So Roadhouse, directed by Rowdy Harrington.
Produced by Joel Silver.
Joel Silver. What do you got to say? I mean,
never use the word Roadhouse in the movie.
No, I don't. No titular reference to it. As a matter of fact, it's
very untitular of them.
It's the double deuce, and that's all there is to it. I'm trying to figure out how many times I've actually watched this movie.
Dirty Dancing was 87, Ghost was 90.
Oh, okay.
Point Break was 91.
Oh, 91, I got that too.
To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar was 95.
Oh, wow, okay, good, that's important.
Yeah.
It's important. Benchmark. Let's see, how many times have I actually watched this movie all the way through? Probably three or four at this point.
That's it?
Yeah, well, it's on it was on TV a bunch, and you see parts of it. I think the last time the four of us watched it together, which was like 5 years ago.
All four of us?
Yeah, and we watched Point Break the same day. You had both of them. You rented both of them. I think Blake was there back then.
Who's Blake?
Blake Shelton?
Blaine. Blaine was there.
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, you know four guys, don't you? You know four people, don't you?
Maybe
Blaine on the podcast.
Maybe all of four people at this point. I don't know. So
sorry, Blaine.
This time I was...
Blaine doesn't listen to this.
I was looking at it and I was like, you know what? What's that going to do? You're like going to get people complaining. It sounds like there's someone rolling rocks in the background.
Like,
and you're going to have to, hey, yo, bro, there's rock rolling in the background of the podcast. Why is that there?
And also rolling rock.
Ouch. Yeah.
This movie is like a modern samurai western type of thing.
What can you say about Roadhouse?
That's what you say about it. You say that
would be my line for at Roadhouse's funeral.
Yeah.
What can you say about Roadhouse?
You bring in the guy.
It has Tinker.
Yeah.
It has tits. You kept saying you didn't think there was tits in it.
I've seen it on TV like 25 times.
Right, yeah. That's usually...
I didn't remember it having quite so much nudity in it.
You can take a feminist angle on Roadhouse, right?
Well, we can talk about the remake in a bit here, but...
That's not feminist.
I think that it's actually a pretty well-made movie. I'm going to say, I don't think I have time for any irony with Roadhouse at this point in my life. You've got, I mean,
I don't know how to respond to that.
Back in the 80s,
never really did.
Back in the 80s, all the elements of, you know, they put together a movie,
it's a well-made movie, and it's lit like an 80s action movie.
Right.
Like, it's
pieces are effective.
It's not poorly, it's not poorly directed or edited.
The performances are decent.
Yeah.
There's some goofy dialogue, but I think that's on purpose.
I think there's amazing dialogue. The bad guy's dialogue in the movie is perfect.
The character of Brad Wesley is this, like...
Not just that, but...
complex character.
But Jimmy.
Yeah?
Jimmy has really good lines.
Jimmy does have some good
lines. He mostly doesn't talk, but when he does, he's like, I'm gonna kill you. Didn't he say, prepare to die? He said, prepare to die before they fought.
He cackled.
Yeah, and he cackled so good as he's driving his four-wheeler away.
That wasn't a four-wheeler.
That was a three?
No, that was a little, like, dirt bike thing.
No.
It was a two-wheeler.
Was it?
Yeah.
No. Start it up again. <It's okay>. Sidecar. There was a little midget in the sidecar holding a detonator.
So Swayze's just representing that, you know, character of like the gunslinger or the Ronin samurai that comes, that sort of brought in. He He doesn't have much in the way of connections muscle. Or anything, and he just has a skill set and he has a mentality, and this town needs it. Because it does,
you know, it glosses over the resolution of the film, because the conflict then becomes multiple people telling him to leave, he's better than this. And then it turns out he's not better than it, and he just kills everybody. I mean, right. So to speak.
Well, and the other side of it is that he does give up, too. He is like, oh, you know what, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, it follows the beats and everything like that, and then of course then they kill Wade, and so he goes and, you know, does his thing.
Yeah, it just turns into like a bloody revenge movie.
But before then, they do a decent job of the whole standard movie beat thing. People going, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And him just being like, I don't want to tell you about it. And then like, you know, they give you like little inklings of what his past was about. They dole them out very carefully and at the prescribed moments.
Right.
It is very carefully made. Yeah.
Well, and the whole reason of why he doesn't want to stay anywhere.
Tai Chi poorly.
That he's, you know.
Does he?
He's ashamed.
Yeah. How much Tai Chi have you seen? Rowdy Harrington was a grip on Repo Man.
He was what?
He was a grip on Repo Man. He was an electrician, a grip, a best boy, gaffer.
He did the work.
Before he wrote and directed Jack's Back in 1988.
He did the work, huh?
Yeah. James Spader, Jack's Back, never heard of it.
The Blacklist guy?
Yes. And then he did. Oh, it's your favorite movie, Gladiator.
Right, with Brian Dennehy.
Yeah. He wrote and directed that.
The Russell Crowe one?
No. No one, Denny.
Oscar-winning best film directed by Rowdy Harrington.
That movie didn't deserve an Oscar, no. Though. That was a joke that year that it won a bunch of stuff.
You know,
who got robbed that year?
Russell Crowe deserved a best Oscar.
No, I don't know about that.
For Insider, not for that.
Listen, if a crowd-pleasing, money-making movie wins best picture, I'm never opposed to it, because... If you look at the list of what beats really good, like movies that go down in history 20 years later,
right.
And stuff like Shakespeare in Love beat it, that's always an embarrassment.
Yeah.
That's always an embarrassment. And the Oscar list is way too much.
But now think about Gladiator and really be like, Gladiator is kind of a Shakespeare in Love.
Gladiator pops on TNT, you know, once a week. Like it's a crowd, people are asking for it.
It's shitty though.
It's not shitty, it's just not that great.
It's okay. It's not as great as anyone made it out to be.
And Ridley Scott just keeps making movies like that all the time.
Movies that get beat, the movies that get beaten by like Oscar Indie Fair for Best Picture or prestige films made by the Weinsteins or whatever are like Saving Private Ryan and stuff, which are memorable films that will go down in history eventually as some of the best ever. And they get beaten by things where it's like two lesbians arguing about their car or something like that. And that's the point. That's the plot of the movie.
Right.
All feminism tonight.
I guess.
This is the extremely sexist reboot of Movies That Matter.
Right. So, getting to the idea of Movies That Matter, I mean, my vote would be that, of course, that it does matter, I think, because it...
Of course it matters.
It hits a certain kind of interesting place with where like, movies... like this were at. I mean, you didn't have Westerns anymore, and you didn't really have movies.
Did you say a sentence? You're just putting words together, right?
No. I'm saying, like, look, so the Western, the popularity of the Western had waned, right?
By 1989?
Yeah.
I think you're about 3 decades late on that.
Absolutely, right. Okay. But people are looking
people
for
people weren't watching
thing.
Silent films anymore, right you guys?
They weren't. That's true. And the
musicals weren't so big in 1989.
The noirish detective stuff had fallen on
years before.
Peck and Paul was still making movies in the 70s and stuff.
Well, this is 1989. It's not the 70s.
I know, right? You're right. There was
he died in the early 80s. He died in like 81 or something.
It was even more important.
It was about a 10-year
I'll tell you what this movie
there.
Was about. It's about subsistence farming. Because Emmett, you're introduced to the through line to the movie. The guy that holds the glue together, the R2-D2 of this series, is Emmett. And he's introduced to us with a baling hook, right? And he's loading bales of hay with a baling hook.
Yeah.
And so he immediately catches your eye. You're like, wow, this guy's interesting. And he purports to be interested in paying God.
Right.
Asking God to stay out of his business when a lovely young lady is sleeping with the guy who lives in his barn.
Mm-hmm.
And doing things like gawking lustfully after young Dalton's oiled, muscular body.
And shooting Wesley in the chest with a shotgun.
And then that at the end. He's
right, the righteous...
He's there. He's there for every major part of Dalton's life in this film.
He is?
So the movie is about subsistence farming.
Oh, okay. In a strange
way. What do you think?
In a strange way, I think you might have it.
Are you auditioning for Newsies later?
That's good radio.
Yeah. That's really good radio. He's wearing a cabbie hat. That's why I said that. It's at a rakish tilt.
What if they did this as an anime?
It kind of does hit a lot of anime beats where the character... It's the samurai thing, too.
It's about bouncers.
Yeah, it's about... But it's...
But I'll say this, though. There's animes about people playing tennis.
There is.
What if it was like a space station, like bar?
If it was a space station bar.
Yeah.
No, but the underlying situation that's going on there, if you want to get big picture about it for 20 seconds.
Let's go big picture.
Let's go big picture about the microeconomics of tiny bar bouncers.
Yeah, right. Or the environment where, I mean, you've got the guy that brought the town together, right? He's going to bring a JCPenney's in. These little towns are going to, they fall apart. Yeah. Unless there's somebody, right?
Like fast forward to now.
Money.
Westerns have been dead for, 60 years?
Yeah.
People aren't watching Sound of Music anymore.
Right.
JCPenney's doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't. That's
so
true.
So today...
These things fall apart.
Wesley's claims don't matter.
Right,
anymore.
And all those...
He blew up an auto parts store. He blew up a subsistence farmer's house. What else did he blow up?
Car dealership.
He
ran over a car dealership.
They all make...
None of these things exist anymore.
They totally wrecked that bar, 18
and
different
the, and yeah.
And every time, somehow they had the capital to make it brighter and better. And they took away cages.
I've been serving plastic cups instead of bottles at some point.
Me personally, and I don't know why I'm thinking about this, I was interested in who painted that place so many times. I would have liked to see the story of the people who were painting that bar
they
over and over.
They probably had to
over.
Kill them all afterwards.
Yeah, maybe.
So they couldn't tell the story.
So Wesley kept catching the painters as they left the place and be like, I don't want you guys painting this place anymore.
I don't like that color. It's not going to work. Yeah.
So you've got this psychotic guy kind of trying
to forge. In your opinion.
He's not psychotic.
Forge
his
town.
I'm telling you this.
He is driven. That's true.
He's driven. He's the protagonist of this film. Dalton is the antagonist.
He just wants
jobs
for his people.
This is a lot like a Steven Seagal movie, except the exact opposite.
Right.
The town was all happy and peaceful. Had a little ecosystem that worked just fine.
And they were all kind of scared of this guy.
And it was bread and circuses at the Double Deuce.
Yeah, and so eventually he changed the atmosphere from a whole bunch of lavish lowlifes and a few people skimming and selling drugs in the bathroom, which is probably good for business, really, when you think about it. And then they're getting in fights every night, right? So instead he switches into things where there's guys with suits in there, and they still get in fights every night. But what did he do?
More expensive dry cleaning.
That's true. But who's getting the bill? The bar? If the bar's getting the bill, that's a loss.
Well, just this local economy in general suffers. Trickled out.
So if there's less or more dry cleaning, is that trickling down?
It's trickling up.
In which scenario?
Both.
I don't even have the economic...
wherewithal?
I don't have the savvy to even continue this.
Well, I think we settled it, right?
I mean, I don't know. We don't know. We don't really know what happens to the town without the Brad Wesley power vacuum, or with the Brad.
He was providing nothing to any of them.
Yeah. It's like the JCPenney's was going to come if it wanted to have a market. It wasn't going to come because Wesley was there.
Right.
He calls up Jim Cash Penny himself, and he's like, "I need you in what's the name of the town?
Jasper.
I need you in Jasper." And they're like, "We're on our way." That's not what happened.
Right.
I'm not sure what happened.
Somebody went to...
they didn't talk about it.
Somebody went to a corporate meeting and was able to guarantee an affordable piece of land.
He went into a corporate meeting with Tinker and a couple of other guys with a baseball bat and started smashing up the conference room table.
Yeah, they would all just pull out knives. if you brushed against their shoulder, they pulled out knives.
All those guys had huge hunting knives. Tinker, to his credit, had a butter knife.
I think it was just...
a dull butter knife. That's what he cut Dalton with. Dalton, that's the reason why Dalton was in the hospital to begin with. Because Tinker pulled out his butter knife and was
That's the reason why Dalton, just pushed a polar bear on him at the end.
And I'll say this. Well, no, that's because he's lovable. There has to be, a cute, lovable bad guy. And
like Wesley?
Like Wesley. But Wesley was already dead, so they had to have one live, right?
Yeah.
Tinker is the only guy who showed any sort of agility and prowess at fighting in the first scene where they're all attacking Dalton in the room where they're telling him, like, this guy decided to give his nephew a job back or whatever. What's his name? It's Wesley's nephew. The only person who landed any punches was Tinker.
That's true.
And then he, like, kicked some guys, and then he kneed some guys, and he cut Dalton with a butter knife. And then when they take him outside, they're like, all right, good job, guys, this is over. And they're holding Tinker, and then one of them, like, punches him in the dick really hard. I always thought that was overkill. Poor Tinker.
Yeah. That would be overkill.
Roadhouse 2, Tinker's Revenge.
Well, he's the only one that's still alive.
You've been punching him in the dick?
Not since I was a kid, I don't think.
You mean?
I don't think so.
Have you? You said this like you have a horror story to tell.
No, I don't get going to get punched in the dick.
Dick punching's my thing.
My game.
That's true. That was his game.
Have you ever seen a bar fight?
A bar fight?
Have you seen a physical altercation in a bar? Because I've only ever seen... I've seen bouncers take loud or rowdy people and, like, force them outside. That's all I've seen.
Where
at? At Sidelines.
Oh, yeah, they do a bouncer there.
I know a bouncer at Central Station. You know Donovan. He part-time bounces. He's a mailman now, but he part-time bounces somewhere. I forget where. Maybe like the Clam Digger or something stupid like that.
No, I've never seen a bar fight. I can't think of one. I've heard stories.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories. The floor space is very large in the Double Deuce. A lot of floor space. You don't see bars with. But it's like. And there's a whole bunch of table space out there in front of where someone's playing.
Right.
And even in larger venues up here, bar venues, you don't have that. Like, it's tables crammed against a wall to make room for a pool table and stuff like that. Stephen Dave's doesn't have that. Humbrew's doesn't have that. They have a separate venue to the side of it where they have shows and comedy shows and stuff
right.
like that. But
and even so, it's a lot of jam-packed.
Yeah, most places are like that. We need a Double Deuce up here, I think is what we're getting at.
Some place where people...
Wesley, if you listen.
some place where people
still have
go.
A JCPenney.
Eureka, California.
No, JCPenney closed, didn't it?
Isn't there still one in the mall for the shoes?
Wow, you. That was like...
JCPenney closed down like a decade ago.
Yeah, it was a decade.
What about the Montgomery Wards or the Woolworths?
Those are all gone.
That was trolling.
Patrick Swayze had a... For his peak of popularity, had a very short career. Because if you think about it, Outsiders, Red Dawn, all that stuff, like, he wasn't in a lot of junk in between all that. He was in that dystopian, futuristic space age.
Right.
He was in, like, four movies before Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. He was in, like, four movies after it. Yeah. And then he was on two TV shows, and then he died. But they were spaced apart, except for that peak where it was, like, five movies 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
He was in stuff, like, every 4 years.
I remember
years.
It was weird when, like,
Donnie Darko
showed up in Donnie Darko, yeah. And you're like, wow, it's, like, there's Patrick
He hadn't been in anything since, like, 1995 before that, you know?
Yeah,
like, he just...
I'm not really sure what he was doing.
I think he was, like, a big family man. He was a big family man, like, raising his kids. He wanted to be there for his kids.
He
was
made enough
and
money,
like,
and he was just
yeah.
done. You could do whatever you wanted, you know? Maybe he studied philosophy.
And he did. He died of pancreatic cancer. It was 89, so I was 9 years old. I'm the oldest out of all you guys. Did you see it, like, when it came out? I don't think
no.
I saw it until, like, when I first met you, the first question you asked me was, this is the most important thing I could ask somebody, what do you think of Roadhouse? And I said, it's simultaneously the worst and best movie I've ever seen. And you paused for a long time, and you said, that's the correct answer. And I think I had just seen it, like, the year prior to that.
It's on your mind, man.
So I watched it very late in life.
Yeah.
I'm on my deathbed now. Very late in life, I watched Roadhouse.
I'm inclined to think it's probably something I saw on TV when I was, 11 or 12 or something.
Gosh, man, your guys' childhood was so open.
Maybe now we talk about the remake, the potential remake mm-hmm. that they've talked about. Now, this will probably hinge on how popular Ghostbusters is. These,
you know, sometimes
remaking 80s movies.
Roadhouse 2 ever?
We have to watch Roadhouse 2 at some point.
They've never seen it.
It's supposed to be Dalton's nephew in it, right?
Or something like that. Isn't it Jake Busey or something stupid like that?
I have no idea.
That'd be good.
He might be the bad guy.
I think he's the name in it.
Mm-hmm.
The name?
Yeah, he's the name. Gary Busey's kid who was in like three movies that mattered. Not movies that mattered, but like
movies.
Like Contact and stuff.
You know, sometimes I ask my father, how do you sleep with the children you abandoned? And the wife I saw you beat.
He, like, sleeps with his kids?
I'm just quoting Everclear songs.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm not up on my Everclear either.
Yeah, I need to brush up.
I try to spread a little culture to things.
All right.
Through Everclear, really, Rick's.
Yeah.
Okay.
If art or culture doesn't have bleach blonde hair in it, it doesn't matter.
The guy's name is Art, too.
It is.
So there you go.
Art Alexakis or whatever.
There you go.
He still tours under that band name. When they were up here last year, it was him and like four people no one had ever seen. He probably just picked them off the street and they were playing his song.
Are they actually remaking it?
Everclear?
Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Like I said.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey.
That was the talk, yeah. Which I feel is not the right... I mean, it could work, but...
I feel it should be a man.
No, I'm just saying, like, the idea with Patrick Swayze is that he wasn't, like, a fighter that they just gave the role to, you know? He was, like, a...
Yeah, but he was a physical...
He was a physical, right.
He was a physical presence.
So the question
is... known for being a physical
presence. If they're gonna remake it with women, then what woman would maybe be better for that role?
Than someone who...
Is just a UFC fighter.
Physically beats ass for a living?
I guess, yeah. Do you think that would be the right role? It seems like it's missing the point.
Well,
the
problem is she can't act.
Right.
And she's been in a handful of movies to this point, which a lot of people haven't. But some people can act and some people can't.
Well, the other one is Gina Carano, right? Who was in like the Steven Soderbergh movie.
That was in the hands of a very smart writer and a very smart director, and they didn't give her much to say.
Right.
And they didn't give her much to emote. It was just kind of like punch after punch after punch. And it was that was brilliant. That's really a good movie. You could do that in Roadhouse, but what do we just see? We saw an emotional display,
right.
An acting tour de force of somebody who acts through his eyes, you know? Ronda Rousey can't do that.
So what do you think? You think they're going to just really miss the mark in a lot of respects with this remake, if they do it?
I think it should be Helen Mirren.
Look at that Rodriguez woman from Fast and Furious.
Michelle Rodriguez? Because
yeah.
She's always played a tough chick.
I don't know if she has range.
Jennifer Garner.
I'm trying to give you reason to edit again.
I used to put in bumps and music
and junk all the time, and everyone was like, why are you doing that? You're like, because. And eventually we beat it out of you, and now I'm wondering why you don't do it again.
Because it wasn't worth it, man. I just want to it's just a conversation. Just a conversation, and we'll stumble into some funny stuff.
The only person who listens to this is Jeff.
Yeah. That's why we're doing this. We're doing this for Jeff. He wanted us to revisit
it. Other people.
He wanted us to revisit it in the context of movies that matter, yeah. And now we need to arrive there. You created the movies that matter subcategory,
right.
And now it's been popularized.
My buddy Rob has a funny idea. He wants to actually record a short wave file and send it in for you to edit into these,
right.
And it'll be called Movie Corner.
Right.
Where, as opposed to what we talk about, he talks about a movie.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
For like 5 minutes.
I get
you know?
It. Because yeah. We don't talk about
it. No, we don't.
Off on tangents.
In fact, we used to like beat by beat talk about plots and stuff. And
a little
now
bit.
All we do is just like say terrible like racist, sexist things for like.
Right. We do that. While I'm trying to get at the big
Seth
picture.
And Ian, you guys do that. And I try to really bad. Look, he's wearing his hat like Rerun right now. That's how racist he is.
Sex making that up.
No, it's like a sideways Kangol.
That's okay. So
I could post this on Twitter.
In the rules of movies that matter, Roadhouse obviously applies
based on the fact that we've already reviewed it positively,
right.
Multiple times.
I believe so.
So I kind of felt like this was a waste. I really feel like we should have watched Roadhouse too.
I concur.
And if not for that, we should have been watching a Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting so far behind on
that. We're really getting behind on that. He must have made, what, 14, 15 movies since
last
time?
Plus we got those 8 movies we got to watch that are featuring in that don't have a minute.
All the Vanderbeeks? All the Vanderbeek action films?
If you don't watch those, then Ian's going to feel like you paid money for something that didn't get
money
for.
So, the Dan Patrick Show.
You guys are going to love those Vanderbeek actions. Mark my words.
The Dan Patrick Show is on Fox Sports Radio. It's I don't know who actually owns the rights to it or whatever, but he went on vacation last week. And a guy who used to play he was a cornerback or something for a whole bunch of teams in the NFL, this guy named Ross Tucker, guest hosts for him. And he's pretty good. Like, he sounds a little punch drunk because he played NFL for so long, but he's pretty good, and he's pretty bright. He's pretty funny. And he was so psyched because on Thursday of last week, or maybe it was Friday, they were supposed to have James Vanderbeek on to talk to him. And so the whole show leading up to it, he just kept having them play that Paula Cole song. And like, and a bunch of the guys kept saying, like, you know, I don't know if he's going to like this and stuff. He's like, he's going to love it. And he was just, he loves Vanderbeek, but the way he showed that was by ripping on him over and over.
Yeah.
And so it came time for Vanderbeek to call in. They're like, we can't get him. He's not answering. He's not calling us. He's not answering. And he's like, oh, do you think maybe I offended him? And they're like, I don't know. So to fill his time, they would have talked to him for 20 minutes. To fill his time, he made the producers tell him about times that they had offended people so that they didn't call in. So they were like, well, one time we said this about some NBA guy and he wouldn't respond to our calls after we had booked him 3 weeks in advance and all this stuff. But apparently Vanderbeek, he likes to make fun of
thin skin
himself. He was in that show with the Jessica Jones chick.
Jessica Jones.
And he played himself.
Right.
Maybe he had a family emergency or something.
That's very possible. It's very possible that James Vanderbeek had a family emergency.
You make it sound honestly, like
he's not human.
I couldn't speak to it.
It's very likely that James Vanderbeek is human. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I mean, so Tuesdays, we don't have to watch the movie.
Are you going to, like, fill the podcast content with, like, scheduling?
Yeah, I am. I am because...
Everyone write this
down. The listeners might like the idea that if we get our shit together, they're like, oh, maybe they'll have podcasts more often. So we're going to actually do it on air. That way, it's accountability. Yeah, this shit just got serious.
If it's not on air, then you can't ever back out.
This shit got serious.
There's no possible.
I didn't say you couldn't back out. I said there's accountability.
Yeah, Tuesday's so good.
Yeah. And the other side of it is we can always watch something and then just record, and so it doesn't take as long. We don't have to spend the time.
It's so much work for us to all watch something separately. I mean, it's so much work.
Sometimes it is, but it's...
If it's on Netflix, then that's okay.
That's easy. So I'm saying we can do things
like
that.
But it's not that easy, because I don't have any time.
But you have enough time to come out here and watch it. See, the thing is, you could watch a movie...
I made that time tonight.
You could watch a movie in 20 minutes... And over a week, and then come here for an hour, and then that's still one.
I can't watch movies in pieces.
5 minutes at a time.
I can't do that. I can't
Whatever.
Watch
okay, so we're discussing options. That's fine. So
you don't have to get so
messy
about it.
Why do we watch movies? We don't even talk about them anyway.
Yeah, we don't even talk about movies.
We podcast about like.
I try. We try to talk.
We've been
about
talking
movies.
About scheduling now for half an hour.
Half an hour. Okay.
No, I think the schedule sounds good.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We can
I'm
get
okay
back.
With it.
Get back on it then. Good for
as
us.
As long as we're watching
Seagal
movies.
I've got it That's all sitting right there. And I've been accumulating other things. I had Roadhouse for 2 months.
I kind of think we should change the name of the podcast.
The
format should just be Seagal.
What if they remake... I'm down with that.
Yeah.
What if they remake Roadhouse with a 65-year-old Steven Seagal?
They'd have to go back in time. How old is he now? Like 80?
I don't know.
He's not more than 65, is he?
No, he's probably like 50.
He could play
like modern day Steven Seagal, in a, like exact remake, like the barn, everything.
That would be so, that would
the
be,
rope climbing.
It would just they'd have to have a guy under him in a green suit pushing him off the rope that they could edit out.
The woman walking backwards as he like pursues her in the barn. Like,
oh, that would be extra good with Seagal.
Oh my gosh! Like that. Do you remember the horror on that young girl's face in that one where he didn't? He mostly just sat in the
wrestling on top of her.
Or no, was that was Absolution, huh? That
was Absolution. It was the one where he kept saying the title of the film every time he talked because he was making up the dialogue as he went.
Yeah.
And he sat for 85% of the movie because, you know, his heart pressure, blood pressure, or whatever.
I'm sure.
And then they suddenly had this young girl that he and his team saved have a sexual interest in him that she did not convey through her acting.
Right.
How could she, though?
That's like, it's called acting.
You have to be a really good actor.
Have you ever seen Harold and Maude?
No,
it's about a kid who falls in love with an old lady.
Okay.
A suicidal kid. It's like an old dark comedy.
Yeah.
Bud Cort.
Hal Ashby.
Help me out here, Ian.
70s. Well, yeah, I mean, I've been helping. I've been accumulating all kinds of stuff.
Have you?
There's plenty of films there for us to watch.
And you know what? We haven't even watched all the old ones because you betrayed us with Out for Justice.
That's all there. It wasn't Out for Justice. It was Hard to Kill.
Whatever. They're all. I don't even know which one is which.
I do.
Do you have a spreadsheet?
No, because I don't need a spreadsheet. I know this shit.
The first one was Out for Justice, correct?
Out for Justice is the one we all watched together where you got to shake the fern.
That's sticks. The first. That's his
Man
first. That's his
fern.
First movie?
No, Glimmer Man is not the one where you have to shake the fern.
That's Glimmer Man.
Out for Justice is, and it's not his first movie. His first movie was Above the Law.
That's the same one, though, right? They're all remakes?
No, Above the Law is the one where he's at, where he's Nico.
Which Out for is, Justice. Which one is he, Gino?
Out for Justice is when he's Gino.
Which one is Styx?
Styx is Out for Justice. I can do this which, all which goddamn
is, wait, so Hard to Kill is the one with the
hard,
senator?
Hard to Kill is the one with Bill, with Bill Sadler.
Okay.
William DMX Sadler. Is Exit Wounds.
Why did he make that movie?
Why wouldn't you make that movie?
He just saw that DMX was in, so he's like, okay, I'll do it.
He's like, I will not be in this horrific pile of garbage. And they're like, DMX signed on. And he's like, oh, I'll change my mind.
That's exactly what
happened. DMX did raise the level of that, though, honestly.
He can't act either.
But he raised the level of that movie.
By providing his music to the soundtrack. That one was still big budget.
That one was that still, had some big that budget. That one was still theater.
I gotta tell you, out of all the ones I've watched, Glimmer Man is probably the most entertaining. It was off the wall. And he has that whole 20-minute long ass-beating scene in the restaurant where he just good. Destroys the restaurant. And he keeps answering the phone to tell him to make reservations and stuff like that.
That was good.
And he like just I don't know.
And Brian Cox is telling the other bad guy.
Marlon Wayans.
Yeah, he's telling him to get in the water.
That's not Marlon. It's Keenan Ivory.
Keenan Ivory was the he wasn't the bad guy. He was the partner.
You're doing the all look the same to me shrug.
Oh yeah, I'm doing that.
You gotta start filming this.
I don't think so.
That would be all bad.
Yeah. No one wants to look at our ugly mugs while we talk about movies. Yeah,
speak for yourself, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, I said our.
Looks like Pitbull. You look like Common. Yeah. You start a rap.
What do you look like?
Look like me.
You look like Harvey Fierstein in a Kangol.
Who?
Harvey Fierstein.
Who that is?
Harvey Fierstein.
He was the audio director of Robin Williams' character in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh.
He was a makeup artist.
Of course, I'll know that.
Wasn't okay. He?
I don't know what he was.
Hello. That's what he said in that movie.
Yes, that was
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Remember that one?
Did that win an Oscar?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
They might have for like makeup or some junk.
I don't know.
It shouldn't have. Because I think it was supposed to make him look
anybody
like
anybody watch the Grammys?
No.
I heard it was lame.
It's always lame.
Really?
It's the Grammys.
Kendrick Lamar won 3. He should have won 4. But Taylor Swift won.
Did Kanye get up there and like take an award?
Kanye wasn't there. He's been busy making his new album and begging people for money on Twitter.
He doesn't have his own money?
He claims that he's $53 million in debt. And then he clarified hours later after people were like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, personally, I'm financially wealthy. He's like, but my business ventures, I'm $53 million in debt. He's sunk money into a fashion line, fashion shows in New York for his fashion line, one of which just happened. Tidal, which is a massive failure, a whole bunch of artists withdrew their own music from Pandora, Spotify, yada yada, YouTube. You can't watch them on those things anymore. You can't listen to it. And they put it on this Tidal thing that you must pay for.
Nobody
paid for it. Nobody wants it. And so all these artists who are like, you know, supposedly multimillionaires are begging people to subscribe to this thing to pay. So he's been asking people to pay for that. He asked Mark Zuckerberg for $1 billion to invest in his ideas because he's a lot of ideas, you know.
Me too.
Sandwich design. Things like that. And so that's what he's doing right now with his time. So he could not be bothered to go to the Grammys. And plus, he's just launched an album. And then after...
Is it the best album ever?
It is. It's literally the best album ever. The last one that he did was the best album ever, and this one's better than that. He first announced that he was calling it something, and then days later he changed the name of it. And then he's like, well, it drops tomorrow. And then he's like, wait a minute. I'm only going to release it on Tidal now.
Nice.
That's what he said yesterday. So we'll see what happens.
Well, if you put the best album of all time on that service, it'll probably be some...
He's made the best album of all time 3 times in a row. And to his credit, the last 2 times he made an album, almost every single music publication, including like Pitchfork and stuff that generally doesn't cover rap.
National Review.
Gave him album of the year. Yeah. Paz and Jop, the big New York one that they do with all the really highfalutin music critics.
But it's terrible, though, right?
I didn't listen. I was busy listening to
you don't subscribe to
Waylon time. Jennings. You know what I mean? Charlie Daniels. John Denver.
You do listen to John Denver?
That's what I listen to.
Star ratings?
Of Conway album? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear the Kanye album.
The Conway Twitty album?
I didn't hear that either.
No, star ratings for Roadhouse.
You remember the Steven Seagal movie that had all the country guys in it?
That was
Kris Kristofferson.
That was Fire Down Below.
Was it?
Yeah.
What's the one with Michael Caine?
Fire Down Below.
No. They're different. On Deadly Ground. Thank you. Thank you. So Fire Down Below is the one with all the country guys. And you kept being like, well, then this guy's got to be in it, right? And then he would show up.
Travis Tritt popped in at the end.
Yeah, Travis Tritt was there. Randy Travis was there. Of course, Kristofferson is a bad guy. And
right.
He was a big country singer. Who else? Conway Twitty was in it.
I think he was dead.
No. He's still alive in my heart.
Well, that's where it matters.
All right.
Out of 5 stars, Roadhouse. Come on.
Who did the music for Roadhouse in the new one?
How many other blind guitarists are there?
What if Kanye did it?
There's a lot of blind referees in basketball. Hey-o!
Blind female referees.
Oh, ouch. They should get Dick Pavetta to do the music.
Joey Crawford
will do the music.
On the ones and
music,
twos.
Music by Joey Crawford and Dick Pavetta. It's just a whole bunch of whistles. The fight scenes, it's people punching each other out.
Sounds like a New York City traffic jam or something.
It's 5 stars, obviously. Next question.
5? Seth?
I'm going to go 3 stars.
Shut up. You can't retroactively give it a lower grade than you gave it before.
He can on revisit. He's now had a chance.
Last time we reviewed it, you gave it like 6 stars, and Ian was arguing with you that you can't do that, and so you were like, "Well, fine, 7 stars."
Hey, I've changed.
You've matured. Yeah. You've matured. You wear a cabbie hat now, and you give movies that are great 3 stars instead of 5.
4.
4?
It's a 4. It's a legitimate 4.
Well, at least you didn't, like, suck a movie's cock and then give it a 2 like you usually do.
Uh-huh. I don't usually do that. Yes, you do. The other thing.
Oh, the other thing where you bitch about it and then you give it a 5?
Yeah,
you're probably right. Yeah. It's one of those two.
It's that one. I think it'll be okay. I got it. Try to pretend. Chinese population. Goddamn.
Hang on.
You gotta slow down, man.
You gotta slow way down. You gotta give space. There's gotta be negative space between your lines.
Yeah.
Don't you know anything about Foley work?
I thought I did a pretty good job, but okay.
You didn't. You were
Take 2. I got it. Try to pretend. Chinese population. Goddamn figures. Bored all the time. Attaboy. Crooked time. No matter what happens, whoever feeds me, by the way, bogus shit, stick us up, follow me through here, now I know it, come on, she bribed me.
She bribed him.
Oh.
Just say the last line again, he'll get it.
She bribed him. I was going to do the whole thing over again because I got the last one wrong. But
he'll figure it out. La la lulu la lo la la. You'll do vocal
exercise. I understand, yeah.
Stretch
yeah.
your face. Yeah, I see ya. Go Warriors, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, our team. Our boys. All right, here we go. By the way, unarmed cops aren't dangerous. What are you doing? Don't worry, be happy. Drop a mini one. Someday, I think the other one. Flatter stick us. The mouse well. Are we there yet? Sure thing. Where's the cash? Are you a general yet? I don't know. Never again.
Never again. I understand.
Script work.